Welcome the new people. This meeting's a little different. Study the big book. We have three meetings. We're different parts of the book. I also use the steps we took and carry this message for different steps, and sometimes the 12 and 12, and sometimes drop the rock for steps 6 and 7. This Saturday will mark completion of 11 years of doing the three meetings. And I did take vacations. I don't know how many I've done, but it's probably about 1,300 to 1,400 meetings. And it means a lot to me. It's helped me a lot. I hope it's helped somebody else. For the people who are new, we're different parts of the book, but we try to, why do we study the big book? Because the big book is the specific directions if you have a hopeless condition of mind and body. Now, you may come here and you don't want to use or drink, and that's great. That's probably why most people come. But what we're really trying to do is change our lives, change the direction of our lives, and change the director. And so we, not drinking is very good. We think that's a good idea. But just being sober is not treating alcoholism. Alcoholism and drug addiction occur when you're clean and sober. It's when you can't live emotionally in the world and you seek the ease and comfort of something to change the way you feel. Anybody relate to that? Now, the big book is about changing the way you live so that when you don't feel good, you have certain steps you take so that you don't have to drink. And the steps all center on your relationship with God. And the big book is how you develop this relationship with God and how you maintain it. And we don't get perfect, but we don't want to get separated from our Creator, and we want Him to direct our lives. Now, the bad news is none of us know how to do that. We could talk about it, but we don't know how to do it. We learn how to do it by taking the actions in steps 4 through 9 and living in 10, 11, and 12. For the new people, we have some new people here. Step one just means you are screwed. You are powerless to keep using or drinking forever. Forever. You'll never get the power. And people die trying to get the power, figuring out a way. The second part of step one is you can't manage your life successfully. And you keep trying. Everybody who comes in here has a plan. I got a plan. Forget it. Whatever it is, don't do it. Do this. All AA says is we don't care what you think about anything or what you want to do. All we say is if you have a plan and it doesn't work, you run out of options, do the directions in this book and tell us what happened. AA doesn't tell you what to do. It just tells you the experience of what they did. And their experience was that they had a way of living where they were happy, joyous, and free, and where they had a relationship with their Creator, and they didn't have to drink or use anymore. Sound like a good idea? Step two is after you've completely admitted defeat, you're willing to believe that maybe there's a power outside of you that can do this. Now that sounds so simple, doesn't it? But I think a lot of people die at the second step because they give it lip service. You have to be completely defeated. You have any way of fixing this and be willing to believe that there is a power available to you. You don't even have to know who the power is. Just know it's not you and believe it. Now, how do you know that? Well, you know it because Chris tonight described how he's changed by doing this deal. People here are sober. You should have seen me when I came in. I was an effing mess. I may still be, but I feel better. And it works. And we can't tell you exactly how it works, but we can tell you what we did. And then you do it, and you tell us if it works. So AA is really supposed to design to tell the new people that if your life is in deep doo-doo, we have a way out. And just do it. Now, a lot of people don't know what to do. So that's why I started this meeting when my son died. Because God said, people don't have to die in their car at 3 in the morning or drug overdoses anymore if they can work the steps. So teach the big book, and if somebody will do it, you'll help somebody, and then they don't have to die. Well, I know I've helped me, and I know I've helped at least one other person. And the thing that we do in AA is we're trying to save one starfish at a time. And that's the story. That's what came to me when God told me to do this meeting. It was at 8:30 at night. I'd buried my son that day, and I got down on my knees and said the third step prayer. And God said, I said, God, what can I do to make something good come out of this? He said, you're going to teach the big book. I said, how am I going to do that? He says, don't worry. It'll work out. Don't worry about that. You're going to do it. And then you're going to help somebody. And then the starfish story came. The man and the boy are walking along the shore. And there are all these starfish that are dying. And the boy keeps picking up one and throwing it back in and keep picking up one. And the dad says, well, son, what are you doing? You can't save them all. He says, but I can save this one. And that's what AA is all about. We have a lot of starfish come in here, and we can save a few. And we save the ones who really want to do it. And so the ones that really want to do it, we have to be here, open our arms so they can do it. Does this make sense? Now, step three is very important, because step three is where I admit that I don't want to run my life anymore. I need a new director, and it can't be me. It has to be God. Now, why can't it be me? Because I don't have the power to run my life successfully. You know why? I'm not God. Now, it took me a while to realize that. It says it doesn't work. Play God. And it says, why? Because we're not God. It's not going to work. It didn't work. So now we're going to learn in steps 4 through 9 how to unblock ourselves from God direction. Now, the other thing new people don't realize, took me a while too, is that God's inside of me. He's always been there. But I live my life as if I didn't need him. I'd talk to God, but then I'd run the show. I blocked him out. How did I block him out? I decided what I needed to be happy. Anybody else do that? I decided what I need, how people had to be. I had to arrange the world so I would be happy. Anybody else do that? It was exhausting. It never worked. They never followed the script. I don't know what's wrong with these people. But they never followed the script I had for them, and it was a mess. So step three is just a decision. Now, if you decide that God's going to be your director, what's happened? Nothing. You have to allow him to be the director, and that's what step four is all about. Now, we're at the conclusion of step four, and I gave the new people these cards. Anybody wants some? I have extras. This card, the spiritual checklist, tells me how I was when I came in here and how I want to be. And I see I'm this way by doing the four step. And these are my character defects. These are the things that are blocking me from God. So step four is the process of getting unblocked. We spent about, I think, 8 weeks on step four. We spent at least three on fear, one on sex inventory, which nobody does, but that was a joke. But the sex inventory is very important, and we went through all the instructions, and we spent 4 weeks on resentment. And now we're going to look at the conclusion. So for the people who are new, we go through the book. On Sunday night, if you could be here, we're more about alcoholism, if you're new, which is about the queer mental twist in our mind that keeps us from ever saying no to the drink, and how we don't have any power. Then when we finish on Sunday night more about alcoholism, we're going to study We Agnostics, where God is and where the power is. And then we start on how it works, and then step 3 through 11, and that ends in page 88. On Sunday night, we finished step 11. On Saturday, we finished step 11 in the big book, and we were doing tapping the hidden resource. We're going to finish that, and then we're going to start on working with others on Saturday. And tonight, we're on the end of the fourth step. We're on page 70. And we're only going to cover three paragraphs tonight. The last two paragraphs and how it works, and the first paragraph on into action. And this is very important information, if you're new or if you're old, because it's going to tell you why you're going to inventory in the beginning in step four, and why you're going to do it the rest of your life. Because I can be sober 25 years and wake up and say my prayers and get blocked from God at 9 o'clock. Now, how do I do that? I do it in my mind. I take over. I decide what I need. I get afraid. I get angry. I get judgmental. Anybody do that? So step 10 is where we use the resources in step 4 all day long so we get unblocked. And I tell you, if you do this a while, you don't want to be disturbed anymore. Anybody like being disturbed? Well, if you do, keep doing what you're doing and you'll keep being disturbed. That's a guarantee. But I don't want to be disturbed. Disturbed means I'm separated from God. It means I'm back in self, and I want to be at peace. I want to be okay. So this is a summary of the results of the 4-step. You could call them the 4-step results or the 4-step promises. And I'm going to make some observations, and then I'm just going to read the first paragraph and into action, which is really another paragraph telling you exactly what we're trying to do. And the thing I'm emphasizing, you go to a lot of meetings and never hear any of this. You know, this is what you need to know. Because if you don't change and you don't have the ability to get unblocked, you're screwed. Because if you will drink again, it's almost guaranteed. And if you don't drink, you're going to be miserable. You might as well drink. So it says, if we've been thorough about our personal inventory. Now notice the word "our." When people come in here, they're doing a personal inventory, but it's usually somebody else's. Anybody come in here and have 3 or 4 people that they wanted executed or that really caused them misery and were responsible for all their problems? And when you listen to them, and I've listened to a lot of new people, it's hard to keep a straight face because they're so serious and they're so absolutely certain, but it's so convoluted. We want inventory me. And let me tell you something. I got myself here, nobody else. I can't blame anybody else. I earned it here. But you know what's good about that? I got myself here, and with God, I can change. One of the great promises in the big book, it says, so our problems are of our own making. They arise out of ourselves. And if they arise out of me, then I can change with God's help. If they're because of him or her, there's no hope for me because I can't fix them. So I want to do my personal inventory. I'm inventorying my personality, which is my individual behavior and emotions. My behavior, my actions, and my emotions, my thinking. Did anybody have an emotional nature when they came in here? Anybody very emotional? Anybody get angry a lot? Fearful, judgmental, pissed off? Yeah, well, that didn't work, did it? But we want to inventory that to see why. So we don't do it anymore. Does this make sense? We don't want to act the same way and react the same way anymore, because then nothing will change. Now the big book, they don't tell you on page 70, but by the time you get to page 85, when you've done 4 through 9, you're in step 10, you're reacting differently. You're in fit spiritual condition. When you're fit spiritual condition, you will react normally to alcohol. You will recoil as from a hot stove. The problem will be removed because you have a relationship with God. So really, all you have to do is go from page 63 to 85 and do everything in there and keep doing it, and your problems are solved. And they're solved by God. So we've written down a lot. It has to be a written inventory. A lot of people want to do a thinking inventory. Well, it's a thinking inventory with your thinking. And when you think it, you can't see the truth. Now, if you write it down, you can't take it back. And that's why you write it down, you show it to someone, and they can look at it and they can help you see it differently. The whole point of the 4-step is to see how everything you thought in life was wrong. All your resentments were wrong, all your fears were wrong. And your conduct was wrong. You want to see the truth, but you can't see it on your own. Doesn't mean you're a bad person. Nobody here was really a bad, or I guess some people are bad and evil, but most of us were not bad or evil. We had the wrong director, me. So I have to fire myself all the time. Now, we're like a team that's never won a game in 10 years, and we keep the same players and the same manager. And each year we think we're going to win one game. And we never win a game. I had to get rid of me as the manager. Because if God's my manager, my life will be okay. It doesn't mean I'll get what I want, but everything will be okay. I'll be at peace. I'll have everything I need. That's on page 63. When you make the decision in step 3, you make a contract with God, for those who are new. And it says, God will give me everything I need. That's pretty clear, right? And all I have to do is stay close to Him and do His work well. Now, how do I stay close to Him? Do steps 4 through 9 and 10 and 11. And how do I do His work well? I play the role He assigns. And then God, there's another thing in that contract that God has control of, and that's worry. Did anybody worry today at all? Waste of time. It's God's job to worry. It's not my job to worry. It's my job to stay close to Him and do His work well. All right, I hope some of that review was helpful. It says we've written down a lot. We have listed, you've listed and analyzed our resentments, my resentments. Now, why don't we list their resentments? Because we can't do anything about them. And let me tell you, there are people when you come in here who are going to have resentments against you, you're never going to get over it. Well, you're going to learn how to deal with them. You learn how to do it in step 4. You learn how to see them differently so you don't get angry. But they're my resentments. We analyze. Analyze means to discover or reveal the truth. It means to examine for the purposes of interpretation. Now, just doing the 4-step means you're willing to admit that maybe your anger was wrong. Now, is there ever justified anger in AA?
Nope.
No. We're not allowed justified anger because we're not capable of dealing with it. Anger is always a choice. Now, things are going to happen that you're going to get irritated or bothered at, right? But you don't have to stay angry. That's a choice. Now, how can he say that? The guy's ridiculous. Well, it's because with God, you don't have to stay angry. Because God ought to help you see things with love, patience, kindness, and tolerance. And so if you don't have to stay angry, what a gift. Isn't it a gift? Mm-hmm. Now, when I came in here, I couldn't help but be angry. And I was always right. And it got me a wristband. That was a joke, too. That was funny. We have listed and analyzed our resentment, so we see the truth about our anger. We have begun to comprehend, to understand their futility and their fatality. Now, resentments are futile. That means they're pointless. They're a waste of time. Now, why do I say that? Let's say you had a bad day at work. Somebody bothered you at work. They were just ridiculous. You can't believe what they did to me, blah, 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 blah. You're sitting in your chair and you're stewing, right? It's 7:30 at night. They're home watching Big Bang. They don't give a crap what you think. You're wasting your time. You're ruining your life, wasting your time because you've perceived something as wrong. So the 4-step is how you say, you know, it doesn't matter if they're wrong. I don't want to be angry. Now, on the 4-step, and I've done podcasts on it, on Freedom from Anger, page 66, 67, I've done 4 or 5 of them recorded. We just started recording a couple years ago. If I say the prayers, I don't have to be angry anymore. What a gift. Is that a gift? Now, it doesn't mean you excuse bad behavior, but you don't have to be angry at it. And we understand that they're fatal. Now, how can being angry be fatal to an alcoholic? Because it's fatal spiritually because you're blocked from God. God can't run your life if you're sitting home stewing about what somebody did today. And they're fatal because you drink and use over them. Almost everybody drinks or uses again. It's because of unresolved resentment. We have commenced to see their terrible destructiveness. They destroy our lives. They destroy me spiritually. They destroy my state of mind. They destroy my relationships. Anybody else have that happen? It says, we have begun. Now, here's what you learn. Tolerance, patience, and goodwill toward all men. You think they mean all men? I think they mean all men and women. Everyone. Now, somebody says, well, I can't forgive this one. Well, Sandy Beach, who's one of my heroes, says that in AA, we have certain things up to and which we can include if somebody does something to you. And he says you can forgive everything up into including crucifixion. Because God said, I forgive them, they know not what they do. So there's nothing that you can't forgive. It doesn't mean you have to excuse. Now people get confused. Forgiveness doesn't mean you approve. Forgiveness sets you free. It's your freedom from them. And if you don't forgive somebody, you're not free. You're bound to them. So do you want to be free or not? And we learned that in step four in those pages. Now I heard something, we're supposed to practice love and tolerance for all people. That sounds great, doesn't it? So I had somebody explain it to me after all these years. He says, we love the people who are lovable, and we tolerate those we can't manage to love. Now think about it. That's very powerful. You don't have to love everybody, but you can tolerate them. They are who they are. They're human beings. You practice consideration. Tolerance and patience and goodwill towards all men, even our enemies. For we look on them as sick people. Remember on page 66, 67, when people harm us, we say to ourselves, perhaps they're spiritually ill, just like we were. Now, here's another thing I didn't learn for years. I was on a lot of resentment lists. I may still be. I may have made one tonight. Who knows? But, you know, we're all human beings. And as soon as I understood that we all have our personalities, we're all children of God, then I could, and then the prayers say, give me love, patience, and tolerance. Save me from being angry. Give me a kind, tolerant view. You just change the way you are. They are who they are. And so that gets you free of your judgment. It says, we have listed the people we have hurt by our conduct. So when you do step four, you can see in your fourth column who you harmed in your sex inventory and in your resentment inventory. And this is your list of people you want to make amends to. And you're willing to straighten out the past if you can. Now you become willing because you've forgiven them and you don't see them in a negative light anymore. Now why should you be willing to forgive everybody and willing to make amends to everybody you hurt? Anybody think that's a good idea? Why does it say all? Because you don't want anybody to walk through the door right now that you're afraid to see. You want to be willing to make amends to anybody that walks through the door and you're willing to make it right. You're not afraid of people anymore. I had a bad experience. Somebody did something that was really unreasonable to me. And, you know, it wasn't great behavior, blah, blah, blah. So I said the prayers and I hugged him and told him I loved him. So somebody said, well, why'd you do that? I said, well, I don't want to be afraid to see him. I don't want to be afraid to see him. I don't want anything to block me. He is who he is. So I said, I love you, and I hugged him, and I went on. Does this make sense? You don't want any barriers between you and God. You don't want to be afraid of people anymore. And you get that willingness from doing your fourth and fifth step when you see how you harm people. And then eight and nine is where you ask for willingness, but you don't make amends unless it's not going to harm them more. Don't do steps eight and nine when you first come in. I've been at meetings where somebody's been in a week and we're having a symphony playing. I've seen people, they're in a week and they said, I made amends to my spouse and they don't forgive me and blah, blah, blah. You do eight and nine and it takes a while because you have to see how you harm people to know how to make it right. You're not asking for apologies and you're not really asking for forgiveness. You're asking to make it right. How did you harm them? How can you make it right? And some things you just can't make right. So your behavior has to make it right. The way you live, the way you react. So I hope this was helpful. There's a lot in that paragraph, isn't there? It says in this book, you read again and again that faith did for us what we could not do for ourselves. Now, if you can't keep from drinking and using, then you need to have faith. Now, faith in AA is not belief. Faith is trust. Faith is a dependence on God, a relationship with God. We start with belief in AA in step two, but by the time we've worked the steps and we're in step 10, we have trust in God. Because why? God's removed our fears. God's removed my anger. God's helped me make amends. I've asked God to remove my character defects. You get the picture? And we say at the end of the Ninth Step Promises, people like to read them, that God is doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves. And that's how we live our life. I asked Chris how you let God do it, and Chris said, God does it. We never do it anymore. All we do is take the actions to get out of the way. So when people take credit for 20 years, like there's some great Maharaja and they've stayed sober for 20 years, well, that may be true, but really it's all God. And really what we want to measure is not how long you haven't had a drink, but your quality of life. Are you being of service to people? Are you happy, joyous, and free? Does this make sense? So we hope, and so you start with belief, and you have true faith. Now, why is true faith important? Because then I know I can go to God in any situation, and I ask God, and I say the prayers, and they'll be answered. We hope you're convinced now, this is you've done step four, that God can remove whatever self-will has blocked you off from him. And I wrote, it's been cast out. It's just cast out. I don't want to hold on to my self-centeredness anymore. I don't want to be impatient anymore. I don't want to be intolerant. I don't want to be judgmental. I'm going to ask God to cast that out whenever it happens. Now, I still have the character defects. Sorry, they don't go away. But when they come up now, I say, God, cast them out. And God will replace it with the opposite. And so God can remove whatever self-will has blocked me off from me. Now, that won't help me if I want to hold on to my self-will. You see how it works? If you want to stay in control of your life, God's a gentleman. Go right ahead, Michael. Screw it up. And then when we come back, we blame God. God's, you know, where were you, God? Well, I was right here, Michael. You just went out there and did your thing. Good work. And you see how it works? So this is a continuous program of recovery. It says if you've made a decision, step three, and an inventory of your grosser handicaps, that's our obstacles. Now, what are our grosser handicaps? All our resentments, all our fears, and our harmful sex conduct in relationships. You have made a good beginning. It's a beginning. You keep doing your four step all the time in step 10. It's a continuous process. So some people don't want to do the four step. They think it's very complicated. You get on the internet, there are 150 guides, maybe 300, 500. It's so simple, nobody wants to use the book. You go from page 63 to page 70, and it gives you specific directions. And I've gone over it on the tapes a million times, and there's handouts on the site on resentment inventory and fear inventory that follow the big book. And you don't have to do it perfectly. You learn tools, and then you keep doing it the rest of your life. Anybody get upset today about anything?
Yep.
I'm the only one. I didn't get that upset today. Any fears today? Any anger? If you do, you have the tools in step four to deal with them right away. It says if you've made a good beginning, that being so, you've swallowed and digested some big chunks of truth about yourself. And I wrote good and bad. You learn the good and the bad. And I wasn't a bad person. I just had developed a bad personality, and I want a God personality. Now, I'm actually not going to get, what a shock, to chapter 6 tonight, but I want to tell you some of the truths I learned about myself. Is that okay? In my resentments, I learned that they were all wrong judgments. I was judging something. And the second column, I could see how I misinterpreted what they did. And in the third column, I could see that I was running on self-will, and all my instincts of life were being threatened. And I wasn't God-centered, I was Michael-centered, and what I wanted mattered. And when I did that, I got angry all the time. And to get better, I have to have my instincts of life satisfied on the level God intends. So what I want doesn't matter anymore, it's what God wants for me. So I seek God's will for me and what he wants for me. And I wasn't always seeing things right. In fact, I was seeing things wrong. And I wrote that staying angry was wrong. I wrote, forgive. It doesn't mean excuse. And I wrote tonight, I saw it, if I don't forgive, I'll never be unblocked. Now, if you have a resentment that you're really harboring and you're not willing to give it up, you're going to be blocked. Now, how much can you be blocked and not drink? I don't think you can be blocked very much and keep from drinking. because this is for a program that for people who are unblocked. So please do a four-step. Learn how to say the prayers. Learn how to forgive. Learn how to be free of all your resentments and anger. And my mistakes, I was a very inconsiderate, dishonest, self-centered person. And I was full of fear. Then I learned the freedom from resentments on page 66 and 67, how to change my attitude and say the four prayers. I became willing to make amends because I didn't want anything to block me, and I could see them as just human beings, and then I could see how I harmed them. And another thing I wrote, people don't want to forgive, they still want to play God. They just don't realize it. They still don't want to let go of their judgment on how something was. And I wrote, faith is a strong belief in God, it's trust or confidence. Then about fear, I learned it's all relying on me to manage my life. And when I manage my life in any area, I got afraid. What does that mean? Well, if I'm worried about money, I'm afraid, right? Why am I worried? I'm not going to have enough money. Why can't I give money to God? God doesn't know how much money I need. God may not give me enough money. You see how it works? I'm angry at this person. They're not doing what I want. I can't control this relationship. Well, why don't I give it to God? Well, because I'm still trying to control it. And my basic fears was I needed approval. Anybody else? I wanted love from outside. I wanted love from other people. I never felt good enough. And I never thought I was worthy of God's love. And now I realize I can never lose God's love. You know how I know that? All the crap I did when I gave, I still got me here. God loved me enough, bring me here and give me that moment. We never lose God's love. And I wrote, serving God's another gives me self-esteem and positive pride. I tried to get self-esteem and pride by achieving things or how other people would see me, but now all I want to do is God's will for me. And I don't want to be dependent on things or people for approval, because then they become my higher power. And then finally, my sex conduct was extremely selfish. Anybody else have selfish sex conduct? I used people, manipulated, controlled, I was dishonest. And now I've learned how to be loving and kind. So I hope that was helpful. It's a review of step four, what we're trying to do. And if you're new, it may seem like a bit much, but once you get into the book and you work it with somebody, you'll see the benefits. Thank you.